Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hi, Todd here. You know I love talking about the Department of Corrections, not because I have ever cared that much about crime or criminal justice, not in particular, but I love the criminal justice system. I love the Department of Corrections. I like prisoners on the air because that's government. Government at its best, I think. Government doing exactly what it wants. No scrutiny. Just as the walls keep prisoners in, they keep cameras and reporters out, and they don't allow a normal flow of information from inside the institution to the outside world. And yet, sometimes stuff happens, and the news breaks out into the outside world. Let's do some right now with Alex Taubes. He's a civil rights attorney from New Haven. He's frequently doing cases that have to do with prisoners because he's in the business of making sure the government isn't breaking the law or violating its responsibility to uphold the rights of its citizens. And when the government is not upholding the rights of the citizens, that means it is crushing the rights of citizens. And that's where Alex steps in out of the phone booth, having taken off his shirt. And the Superman suit underneath is revealed. Alex, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Todd, for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
All right, tell us this story. This is a wonderful story of malfeasance, allegedly, on the part of people who work for the state government. Could it be?
So this is still the level of allegations, but I got it from multiple credible sources. Basically, it comes down to something that happens far too often when there is no accountability and there is nowhere to no one to ensure that the law is being followed. What happened was a correctional officer in the Connecticut Department of Correction was using his cell phone camera to record the video visit that an inmate was having with his girlfriend, which, as may sometimes occur, had some sexually explicit material. And what other people heard the correctional officer say was, get her to do that again, but moan louder while recording her on this video camera.
Oh,
now,
my.
This correctional officer was caught. Maybe someone spoke about it. Maybe he was being a little bit crazy, because when he was caught, the cell phone contained not only the videos he had taken, but evidence he had sent those videos to multiple other COs in the Connecticut Department of Correction.
Correctional officers.
Exactly. So as a result of this scandal, 6 correctional officers were walked off of the job on Friday. And I've heard that 3 others are going to be walked off the job today. They didn't work until today. They're waiting for them to come into work to be disciplined. And that's just the latest of the greatest hits coming out of the Connecticut DOC.
Now, did this happen at a particular facility that you can tell us?
From what I believe, it occurred at Radgowski, where there is very few inmates left. It's the prison that Governor Lamont has announced he is closing, quite, you know, for very obvious reasons why that's the one he's closing. But there were about 20 inmates left there, and it was one of them who informed me about what was going on.
Okay. So what's the, what's the larger, put this in context for people who have no connection to the system. Why does it matter? I guess is a good place to start and provide a framework for people to think about this.
I think of the DOC sometimes as really good for 2 things, profits and perverts, because where no one cares about the people who are being cared for, certain predatory people can get into the game, get into the business, and either make a lot of money or get away with a lot of nasty stuff that people shouldn't be allowed to get away with. So whether it's this sexual misconduct, which unfortunately is something that I've had to deal with in cases involving both men and women, in cases involving both convicted, sentenced prisoners and pretrial accused detainees who have not yet been convicted of crimes. And like I said, the perpetrators have also been both men and women. You know, it is a fallacy that only men can commit acts of sexual misconduct. Women can also commit acts of sexual misconduct. And that also occurs within the Department of Correction. And I also mentioned profits because the amount of money that's being made off of these prisoners at our taxpayer expense just always boggles my mind.
What do you mean money being made? Money being made by whom?
Well, I mean, this is not related to the scandal I just talked about, but this morning I was exchanging some emails with my clients, and I actually had to pay 25 cents per stamp because you have to pay for stamps to send emails when you're emailing an inmate. I mean, you've probably heard about the phone call issue. But then the other issue with putting people, putting
the
money,
phone call issue, meaning the cost of phone calls,
how expensive that they are. You know, I probably spend like $300 to $500 a month just to be able to speak to my clients. But
that's going away, right?
Next year it should be. Yeah, in July of next year. But the other big profit thing was I mentioned Governor Lamont is closing one of the prisons, and it's interesting he's closing one of them that is not even that old. It's been only around for a few decades, when there are actually other prisons in Connecticut that are almost 100 years old, or one that was built on a radioactive waste dump that he could have closed instead. But basically, it looks like they just made a monetary decision that they couldn't close down the older prison because it has a factory where they can employ people for 80 cents an hour.
And they are you suggesting that that's a profit center that generates income?
It is for the Department of Correction. And the only thing I would say is, you know, even if you don't care about the inmates, which is totally something that a lot of people don't care, you know, and taxpayers, they don't. You don't want to see what's going on at the Osborne prison in that factory because it's filled with asbestos, PCBs, and lead and arsenic in the water. So even if you're saving money right now by employing these people at 80 cents an hour in this factory, making license plates and signs for the highway and you know, crappy furniture for college dorms, that's a short-term profit when these guys are getting cancers in 5 years, 8 years, 10 years and dying. And some of them already are from the water, the asbestos and the PCBs at Osborne Prison. The state's going to end up paying billions of dollars out in claims.
Is the prison in Osborne then outside of any normal regulatory scheme in terms of what's acceptable for a factory of this sort?
Yeah, there's no OSHA, you know, for prisons, although they do OSHA training for prisoners at times. You know, there's class action lawsuits about the prisons, but because the state keeps such a tight lid on the information coming in and out, the lawsuits take years and years and years with no end in sight. And in the meantime, the people inside and actually the guards as well.
Yeah, they're vulnerable as well. So this does spread to the outside world. Yeah. It's not isolated to the prison. We're talking to Alex Taubes. He's a civil rights attorney, represents prisoners trying to get their rights. And as Alex alluded to, a lot of people, you may be one of those people who doesn't care about prisoners, and your contempt for prisoners maybe causes you to just say, doesn't matter what happens to them, but they are humans who are part of our human society and thus are interwoven with us, and their lives do intersect with ours no matter what we think might happen when we throw them in prison and throw away the key. In fact, most keys are not thrown away. Most prisoners are coming back out into society, and you also have guards who interface with them and other staff members who are impacted by what happens in prison. So Has this ever been discussed publicly, what you're talking about with regard to the poisoning that takes place at the factory at Osborne?
So, like I said, there's a pending class action lawsuit about Osborne Prison. The prison just completed what they called water tests that have actually exonerated them completely, and now it's perfectly safe. Of course, nobody who has a choice fails to bring a water bottle into that prison if they're working there. And I would dare Governor Lamont to take a cup of that water at Osborne Prison and take a drink. And if he does, I'll never sue him again.
Oh, he would do that in a second, though.
I don't know if he would. I mean, I have to watch to make sure he doesn't spit it out.
Yeah, anything for reelection.
True.
Although I don't know worry about a politician when it comes to reelection. We're talking to Alex Tabas. We'll take a quick break. I want to get back to our starting point here, this sexually explicit video that got circulated allegedly by a guard, and learn more about that story and its ramifications as well. Stay with us. We'll continue on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Alex Taubes is our guest, the civil rights attorney. And again, I would urge everybody to think about a prisoner's civil rights as being your civil rights. If we let the bad guys take away people's civil rights anywhere, what we are doing is endorsing them as people who don't care about civil rights. That is, people willing to, eager even, to violate the Constitution and the underpinning principles of our society in order to enhance their own careers. And they seem to do this quite routinely. The government, the state government in Connecticut, seems to routinely violate, not just violate people's rights, but to show disdain for people's rights in prison. And that disdain, it seems to me, carries over into everything else they do, but they keep it hidden from us. And the way it's hidden, the way the disdain in prison is hidden, is just by those walls and the fact that there are no embedded reporters who get to live inside of a cell and report to us what goes on there. So Alex is one of the voices we have here to learn more about government by learning more about prison. So you started off, Alex, telling us a story that you said is breaking in the background, unconfirmed legally, but one that you've found corroboration on, that a prison guard taped an explicit conversation going on between an inmate at Radgowski and his girlfriend or wife or woman, anyway, and then circulated that to other guards. This is the kind of behavior that is entirely unethical, obviously. I mean, there's a responsibility on the part of prison employees to respect the privacy of those housed there and to behave with some integrity. And this, if true, would demonstrate an utter lack of regard for that.
Yeah, and I think it's even if they don't have any privacy per se, like the guard may be required to watch. I mean, he might be. I don't even know the rules on that, but recording it and then sharing it with people who have no reason to be watching that is completely illegal, is a complete violation of both the inmate's constitutional rights and the woman's constitutional rights. It's exposing the state to major liability. It's honestly a security risk, and it's a crime. So it's not something that should be accepted. And what the interesting thing is, from what I heard, is that when they interviewed the inmate about this, he said he didn't think that there had been anything wrong because he had experienced that at other facilities.
So he was suggesting this was routine. And the recording we're talking about, Alex, this is separate from, I assume that like a phone conversation, an actual meeting via video between two people would also be recorded at a prison.
I don't know if those visits themselves are recorded by the facility. I know that, for example, phone calls are recorded and they go back and they have every phone call everybody's ever made from in there, mm-hmm. except for phone calls to me because I have a privileged line. But the phone calls, the video visits, I don't know. But what the officer was allegedly doing was taking out his cell phone, which keep in mind, the officer's not even supposed to bring his cell phone on the tour into the facility.
It's supposed to be left in a locker room.
Exactly. So, or actually, I believe the phones are not even allowed to be in the locker room. Phones are supposed to be in your car in the parking lot, because they're not supposed to allow phones in the facility. I've been stopped from bringing my phone and putting it in the locker outside. So it's layers of misconduct here. But you know, that's something that needs to be addressed. It's like, if you don't believe in, I'm not a huge believer in broken windows policing when it comes to the streets, but I do believe that when it comes to people who are in service positions who owe a duty to the public, even a small violation needs to be dealt with. But this is a major one.
Alex Taubes is with us. He's a civil rights attorney from New Haven. Why do you not believe in that broken window theory? I mean, aren't we seeing right now that the state is in the middle of a sort of meltdown of a loss of order that's taking place because of the reverse broken window theories being applied?
I don't think that's why. I think that we're seeing a breakdown of order and lawlessness and crime, domestic violence,
mayhem,
because we've had one of the biggest disruptions in human history affect our economy and society. I think that compared to coronavirus, the lockdowns, the immense change in the way that public health authorities have had control over our society and our economy is a much bigger change than any of the criminal justice tiny little changes that they've done over the past few years, which have really.
But maybe
not
those been. Tiny little changes created a vulnerability that was that in response to the trigger that you just described is unable to respond in a way that would contain it.
It's a good debate, but to me, it's like comparing a drizzle with opening up a dam. Mm-hmm. I mean, you took away people's right to liberty, property, the pursuit of happiness without any compensation for over a year in this state.
Yes.
People were not allowed to go to work. Then they were not, then the jobs and the work that they had were gone. And that doesn't just affect the individual who's a hardworking, law-abiding citizen, but also all the people that she or he was supporting who were relying on them for their sustenance, for their lives, for a stable family life, for a stable home over their head. So, I mean, you and I are going to agree to disagree. I mean, I'm the liberal Democrat. You're the conservative libertarian. But you know, what we probably can agree on is that when you have this kind of economic grind down to a halt and you don't give people the chance to eat, there's going to be more crime.
Yeah, I would also, I mean, this is just riffing, so maybe it's not the best thing to pursue right now. Let's just wrap up on the
on the
prison.
I can debate on any topic.
I know you can, and as can I, and I'm eager to. But just give us a 30-second wrap up on where you see this prison story going and its ramifications.
Well, I would like to see the DOC come clean on this, not try and just sweep it under the rug, but come out and say, you know, we've discovered some misconduct and we're addressing it. And this is how we're going to address it, to instill confidence in everyone, including fellow employees, that they should speak up and stop this kind of thing from happening and not just either passively accept it or join in on it. And the DOC Commissioner Angel Quiros really needs to take a leadership role. He came up, remember, from the ranks now all the way through this agency to become the top bureaucrat at the head of a state agency. He has a leadership responsibility now, I think, to speak out and do something to address it, if it's true, of course.
And so there should be calls from the media or political figures.
Yes.
Asking for this to happen immediately.
The media should be looking into this and finding out exactly what went down. You know, I'm one attorney and I have heard, and you know, credibly what's going on, but I don't represent anyone involved. So I don't have any standing really to dig much deeper into this tawdry scenario.
All right. We'll see what we can learn and report back to you. Alex Taubes, thank you for your time. Always great to talk with you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Well, well, here we are and here we go. 860-522-9842. My interviews always get people riled up. I don't know why that is. But it's fun having people on, getting different perspectives. And last half hour is no exception. I want to run a couple of topics by you. Let me, Patty's been on hold for a while. Let me talk to her and then I'll tell you about the Reagan topic and the Trump topic. Hello, Patty.
Hi, Todd. You know what? I'm going to comment on that also, if I could, in the end, too. You know, I was going to talk about the Border Patrol and loop that with health and safety. But, you know, any time you have someone on the border, they have very difficult jobs, immensely difficult, beyond what we could understand up here, and the conditions that they have there, the terrain that they have there. And there have been multiple people who are experts that came out on that law enforcement officer with the horses, with the reins, and explained that what was narrated by the president and others was far from the truth. They have pictures that also show that that is not what happened. These were reins.
Yeah, but what's the truth got to do with it?
Well, you know, it has a lot to do with us all, because when we no longer care about the truth, then we are all really in trouble. And that brings me to all the other loopings. When we see people behind closed doors, the most vulnerable of society, whether they're nursing homes, whether they're prisons, we need to be sure that we follow the law and follow it to the letter. Because if you think that it can only start with one group of people, that kind of tactic, when you get used to doing it, can carry to every other aspect of society. So we should always be looking for the underdog and be sure that we follow the letter of the law and maintain all of our civil rights.
So what kind of tactic are you referring to?
The conversation you were just having with the prisoners. And I'm also going to bring that to mandates, and I'm also going to bring it to our police and our fire. Because our police, our policemen with the law enforcement officers that defend the police, that hurts safety. The gentleman on the border, on the horse, that is, again, defending the safety of this country. Again, law enforcement. And also the mandates are hurting also our hospitals, our policemen. Some are retiring early, our firemen. All these situations that are created that are going to have very bad results for the people of society. When you start affecting health care and you start affecting safety, that affects every single person in the state or nation that you live in. We have crimes going on in Connecticut, whether they're juveniles or not. They don't have any kind of consequences for them. You're actually emboldening those behaviors when you do things. It doesn't help the individual. It doesn't help.
All right. What else did you want to go to your other point, Patty?
Well, to be honest with you, if we start having shortages with healthcare workers and policemen and firemen, it affects all of society, and including when we see people.
Well, it's all crumbling, isn't it? Doesn't it feel like
it's all crumbling? And it's all connected, Todd. It's all connected by policy of one word, destroy. And we need to see it all. And the gentleman who called earlier about, you know, I don't want to say he was apathetic, but he was almost giving up. Well, if George Washington felt that way, and General Patton, and every single soldier that marched with him felt that way, they did the impossible.
When you good point, Patty. You've got to keep the optimism flowing, especially when the going gets tough. That's a great point. Thank you so much for the call. 860-522-9842. You can't give up when things look bleak. You can't assume that things are over just because they look like they're over. What if you're wrong in your estimation? All right. Topic. One. Well, this is just such an exciting topic. I mean, not exciting because of the of what's being discussed, but exciting because of the nature of the conflict. It just gets to fundamental principles, and that's where the best conversations live. What is the fundamental principle that should apply on John Hinckley, who's been in prison for, what, 40 years? 50? How long has it been since Reagan was president? 80 to 88, right? He was president. That's a long time. 40 years ago, he was shot. And John Hinckley did it. And John Hinckley has been in prison since then. And John Hinckley is coming out of prison. John Hinckley Jr., the man who shot President Reagan, but was found not guilty by reason of insanity, is set to be unconditionally released from court supervision next year under an agreement disclosed in court today. If he hadn't tried to kill a president, he would have been in unconditional release a long, long time ago, said the judge. I'm going to, after all these years, grant unconditional release to Mr. Hinckley. I think it's probably overdue given the record in this case. Your thoughts, please. 860-522-9842. Should somebody be treated guilty? Differently. Should somebody be treated differently because they tried to kill a president, because it was an attempted assassination as opposed to attempted murder? Your thoughts on that? And mental illness, the fact that somebody was mentally ill, that John Hinckley was mentally ill when he tried to kill Ronald Reagan, does that make a difference? Does the fact that it was Reagan as opposed to an average person, should those be treated the same? Should the president of the United States not get a little extra protection, given that he's vulnerable to becoming a political target? All right, that's question number one. What do you think about the idea that Hinckley gets let out in a few months? 860-522-9842. Has he served enough time? Or do you want him in prison for the rest of his life? Or do you think he should have been put to death? 860-522-9842. Don't forget the rant line, too. 860-751-4698. Rant line comes up during the 5 o'clock hour today. Question number two. Donald Trump is going to run for president again, it appears. Or at least he wants people to think he's going to run for president again. Is this a good thing? Or is this a bad thing? Will it make things better for the country? That's ultimately the decision. Whether it's good or bad depends on whether it makes things better for America. Is America better off with Donald Trump running again? Is it not better off with Donald Trump running again? Is the Republican Party, if you believe in the Republican Party or want it to do well, is that a better thing or a worse thing for Republicans? If you're a Democrat and are dying to see the Republicans destroy themselves, do they do that better with a Trump presidency? And is that something you favor? 860-522-9842. Sorry, I'm hearing clicking, Anthony. Did you want to comment on one of those stories? Or was I just hearing things?
No, I
thought I saw you. Okay.
I was ready. It comes to you talking about Reagan and what's his name? The guy that tried to
kill
him.
John Hinckley.
Hinckley. It's funny that you asked that. I mean, you didn't say your opinion, but You're Mr. The government should treat everyone the same, especially politicians. It's funny. I would think that a president being tried to, or someone attempting murder on a president, assassination, whatever, it should be treated the same as anyone else, in my opinion. I mean, I guess there's symbolism.
Well, the reason I would suggest differently is just because there's an elevated risk. Like with a police officer. Police officer has a higher risk of people attempting violence on him because he's willing to do a certain job. Therefore, you want to offer extra protection. It's a very practical way of looking at it. I don't view it so much as a government thing, but just if somebody's going to take the job of being president, then there's a chance they're going to be assassinated. And assassination is an attack not so much on the individual, but on the country.
Well, there's a target on
the country.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And to the
you
second
buy that
point,
argument?
I buy that, yeah. Second question, yes. I think Donald Trump maybe in the short term would be better than what we're dealing with right now. But if Donald Trump runs again, I think that's just bad for our politics in general. I think we need a new voice, we need new everything, but I guess I shouldn't expect that from either party. So I don't really know. I'm just saying I feel like if Trump does do this again and we get Biden versus Trump or Kamala Harris versus Trump, it's just more the same, and we don't need that. So I don't really know what the step is to get away from that, but that's just where we're at right now, and it's not encouraging to me.
That's the last question, then. If it ends up Biden, Trump, again, who wins?
Who knows? I don't know if I could do that again. It's so mentally exhausting with
two guys in their upper 70s. Do you know how old Joe Biden is?
I'm not positive. Is he 78?
I'm thinking he's 77, 78.
He's something like that.
Biden age. We'll ask the old Google and see what Google says. 78 years old. 1942 he was born. So Joe Biden will be 81 running for president. Wow.
Like, we shouldn't have anyone that old as leading our country.
Oh, you want an age limit?
Yes,
you want
I
to
do.
Deny the people their choice?
Yes.
What?
I think we should have a president from the age of 50 to 60. They're in touch with every generation. They could see many perspectives. I think that's the perfect age. I don't know why we have these presidents that are like almost to the point of death.
Trump would get the youth vote. Because he's 3 years younger.
That's my point. It's like, oh, they act like he's so much younger. I mean, he looks younger, but it's not like he is much younger. And this guy's out here getting filet of fish every night.
Well, there's something about Trump. He's got an inexplicable vibrance to him physically. Like, he isn't as old. He doesn't seem as old as he is. But that may change.
Yeah, that hair. He looks great with that hair.
It is. It's an amazing. I mean, everyone's attracted to his hair. Everyone's always talking about it, looking at it, studying it. Yeah, he's got that charisma that Biden lacks, by the way. But Biden's worked hard to get rid of it. Anyway, who wins a Joe Biden, Donald Trump rematch? That's a really tough one. And is it even good? Would you prefer that Donald Trump go away?
Yes.
And not run? Should he just disappear? So who would be, do you have some, would you prefer like one of these young governors, somebody like the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who's in his 40s, I think?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in love with him. Kind of energy to him.
I'm not in love with him, but I would like him better. I just want something different. I don't care what it is. I want something different. And Democrats clearly aren't accountable either anymore, so I don't even know what to expect from them moving forward. But I mean, I would hope DeSantis could take the Trump base and try to move the needle forward as opposed to be a copycat.
Well, he would try to find the sweet spot there. That's what they do. You keep one foot in the old camp and one foot in the new camp. And you try to hang on to the old voters, and you try to attract the new voters. It's just that's just how it rolls. That's just how you do it. Anyway, what's your feeling? So let me tell you what I think. I believe that the best thing for Republicans would be if Trump does not run. I guess it's kind of what you're saying, Anthony. It's a rehash and not a fresh thing. And Trump was new and Trump was exciting 5 years ago. Trump would not be new and exciting. And then you have all these conversations about the past. What happened before? And you have to fight all these historical fights instead of dealing with what actually needs to be dealt with moving forward. So that's my concern about Donald Trump. Don't want to have all those discussions again. Been there, done that. I voted for him twice. That's enough. Joe Biden, too old to run again, perhaps, because he was too old the first time. But if people like him, let them vote for him. I believe in the choice of the people. That's fine. And I don't. The quicker we get rid of presidents, I think the better off we are. So if we elect people who are so old that they're leaving office on their own actions, 18 months or a year or 2 years after they get in there, that's fine with me. 860-522-9842. Oh, sorry. We do have to take a break.
Something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's WTIC. Wow, where did the time go? I want to talk to you about John Hinckley. Should he be let out of prison? Or mental hospital, wherever he is. Judge says he's long overdue for release. And what kind of election do you want to see in 2 years? Are you looking for a Joe Biden, Donald Trump rematch? Would that warm your heart? Do you think that would be better for the country? Do you think it would be good for the Republican Party? Would it be good for Democrats? Who would it be good for? Exactly. What does it take for the next election to be good for America? What direction do you want us to go in? I'm not in favor of another Trump run. I don't think that does anyone any good. But I know that there's a big block of people who are loyal to Donald and want to see Donald running again and want to see him president again.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.